Good morning.
Good morning.
Sounds like y'all have had too much turkey and you need a nap. Let's try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's better. We welcome you to worship at College Park. Excited that we are here together. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. First, we'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, it's very simple. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it reaches the last person and you are done, please send it back to where it got started. And we do ask the first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you so much for that. A few announcements we'll make. First of all, this is my first opportunity to talk to the church since we did Operation Christmas Child. We did over 90 boxes that we sent down to Operation Christmas Child. So thankful for everybody who made that so successful. We also sent a team to the Operation Christmas Child warehouse this past Wednesday, and they did a great work down there. So very thankful for everybody's service. Over the last couple weeks for Operation Christmas Child. As we think of Christmas, it is exam time. Many of our college students will start exams this week, and they will stretch over the next couple of weeks. We are doing our exam packs tonight. If you are able to provide store-bought or homemade items, we make about 50 of those packs, and we drive to all of our schools here in North Carolina, and then we mail exam packs to places outside the state. We'll be making them tonight in the youth room. So if we love pound cake, we love chips, we love cookies, anything. We are very thankful for any of those. We do ask that they're individually wrapped. That will help us just in the packing process. We will be doing those tonight in the youth room. So if you're able to provide those, that would be great. Just bring them down to the youth kitchen by 6 o'clock this evening, and we will make sure they get to the right places. Couple of things Mary wanted me to announce. No Monday morning Bible study tomorrow, but there is book club tomorrow night, so make note of that. We are having children's time today. We invite all the kids to come join me for just a few moments down here. Other things are listed there in your opportunities for the week on the back of the bulletin. Make note of those things. I want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisle, so we thank you for the information that you gave a few moments ago on the pew pad. Thank you for that. We'd like to give something to you. So if you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and our ushers are going to recognize you. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. Advent. It's here. That means Christmas is coming. That means the Christ child is coming. As we prepare, as is our tradition, we have invited the Morgan family to come and light the Advent wreath.
This morning, we're going to light the candle of hope. And as we do that, we're going to read from the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. For the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will place a righteous branch on King David's throne. He will be a king who rules with wisdom. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. And this is his name. The Lord is our righteousness. In that day, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. From the New Testament, we read Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. They give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you to live in complete harmony with each other, each with the attitude of Christ Jesus toward the other. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. Then God will be glorified. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. And he came so the Gentiles might also give glory to God for his mercies to them. This is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, "I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name." And in another place it is written, "Rejoice, O you Gentiles, along with his people, the Jews." And yet again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people of the earth." And the prophet Isaiah said, "The heir to David's throne will come, and he will rule over the Gentiles. They will place their hopes on him." So I pray that God, who gives you hope, will keep you happy and full of peace as you believe in him. May you overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Will you pray with me? Father, we know that a babe was born. And as we prepare for his coming, may that preparation start in our own lives. As we look to Thanksgiving that we have celebrated and all the ways that you have blessed us, the greatest blessing of all is the coming of the Christ child. And so for that, we worship you. We invite you to come into this place. We desperately seek your face. Be in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good to see everybody this morning. Everybody, did anybody have like cake this week, like chocolate cake, or did you have what else did you have, Dylan? Did you have turkey? Anybody have turkey? Oh, and gravy and stuffing and sweet potatoes. Anybody have sweet potatoes that had more sugar than sweet potatoes? All right. And a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Anybody have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Yeah, yep. There, do you see this big, this thing up here with the candles? And we have a candle that's already lit up there. Does anybody know what that's called? That's right. That's right. Each week we light it, and the white one is Christmas. It's when Jesus comes. Now, I have one here, and this, it's the very first week. Okay, so we lit one of the purple ones. Now, each week we have some big words that we talk about, okay? This week, the big word is hope. Does anybody know what hope means? Anybody got a clue what hope means? You can get hope, you can get your stuff back, that's right. Maybe it was in timeout. We don't know. Hope, like sometimes, this is the way that I like to explain it. Hope is when you really, really, really want something, but you have to wait a long time to get it. And you know it's coming, but it's got to take a long time. That feeling that you know you're going to get it, but it's not here now, is called hope. And the people, when they knew Jesus was coming, they didn't know when he was coming until God showed up in Bethlehem. And we light all these candles to remember how special Jesus was. He brought hope that we know maybe things are not so good today, but they're going to be one day. Hope. You know something's going to happen, but it's just going to take a long time to get there. Does that make sense? That's a big word for us to think about. I want you to think about this week. Jesus is our hope, okay? That and next week, we'll light another candle all the way till we get to the Christ candle, okay? Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much for the hope that we have in Jesus. We know and we trust you, and we believe you're going to take care of us. Even though we have tough days, we have hope in Jesus. Help us to do that every day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you this Thanksgiving weekend with thanksgiving for you, for who you are in our lives. We are thankful to you for your son Jesus and what his life and death means for us. Thank you for the candle of hope today. Please take this offering and use it to your will. Bless the gift and the giver. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Hey, choir. How are y'all doing? You haven't got any intention this morning, have you? Bless your hearts. We appreciate you being here. Really. It's Christmas time. We just barely, ho, ho, ho. It's Christmas time. We just barely got finished with Thanksgiving. Most of us probably still have a little leftover turkey laying around. So we ask ourselves, how can it be Advent already? And yet, each year at this time, we begin our journey to the manger. The manger, a symbol of a lot of things, but most certainly a symbol of hope. Jesus, our Savior, came into a lost world and brought us the hope of being found again in the grace of God. He came to a blind world, he came to a deaf world, and he brought the hope of restored sight and restored sound, spiritually speaking, so that we could see again and hear his voice again. Come back into restored communion with him. It is a season of hope. And with that in mind, I want to reread a portion of the scripture that Nate read earlier. He was struggling. He said, children can be challenging, can't they? And I want to reread a portion of it because it's the text for the sermon. I won't read all of the passage from Romans 15, but let me go back and pick up and give you the context of in verse 7. We'll kind of focus in on verses 12 and 13 from Romans 15, but let me go back and pick up at 7. It says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all the people. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. As I read through this, I read a lot of things. At Advent time, when we talk about hope, it's easy to kind of get in the same kind of pattern of preaching a passage of Scripture. As I looked at this one, I went back and read some notes from the Broadman Commentary in Romans, and I read some notes from Pastor Phil Morgan. I read some notes in the Interpreter's Bible, as well as a Bible that I had on my shelf at home that I don't refer to a lot, but it's one called the Open Bible. Some of you may remember when that Bible was released. Some really good thoughts, and we'll pull all that together in just a moment. But as we prepare to learn, let's have a word of prayer together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the hope that you give us. Father, the promise of what it means to be your child. God, we thank you. We thank you we can come together and learn, that we can come together and worship. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask all of these things. Amen. Do you remember the hymn, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart? Since Jesus came into... It was one of my favorite hymns, because when I was learning to sing bass, it has a really cool bass part. Came into my heart. You remember that? Yeah. I mean, and so, you know, it's amazing what your mind fixes on as a teenager, but my mind kind of fixed on this hymn. And there's a line in that hymn that always kind of puzzled me a little bit. It reads, I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure since Jesus came into my heart. And I used to think as a teen, how can you be possessed of a hope? Now, granted, I had a frame of reference because there was a girl in our high school that I had some friends that were possessed by her, I felt like. You know, but I mean, apart from that, I thought it's just bad grammar. I mean, it doesn't work. You know, you can possess hope, but hope can't possess you. Or can it? As I've grown up and grown to know Jesus more and more, I've realized that hope is a person, apart from the example I mentioned earlier. Our hope is Jesus. Right, man? Amen? I mean, does that make sense? I mean, our hope is Jesus. Christ Jesus is hope. And if you think of it that way, those hymn lyrics make sense. They make a lot of sense. You know, this Christian hope is not just wishful thinking. It's not just something that we're blindly hanging on to without foundation. It is a sure expectation that actually takes hold of us. It's truth. It is truth. Hope possesses us. Biblical hope is, quote, a confident expectation based on solid eternity. It rests on God's sure promises. In the New Testament, the Christian's great hope is grounded in the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, and particularly relates to the return of Jesus. This passage that we read, and Nathan read the whole passage, looking particularly at verses 12 and 13, is loaded up with information about Christian hope, what it looks like. And if you're taking notes and you're looking at kind of an outline, my outline kind of goes like this. Point number one, you know, Roman numeral one, is in him the Gentiles shall hope. That is the end of verse 12. In him the Gentiles shall hope. You understand, Isaiah, and Paul is quoting Isaiah here. Isaiah is writing about Jesus. He refers to him as the root of Jesse. You know, he's writing about Jesus. And the first thing that we need to note all about Christian hope is it always looks to Jesus as its focus. Our hope is Jesus. And our hope for Jesus looks to, and our hope looks to Jesus for a couple different things. Letter A under Roman number one, if you will. Our hope looks to Jesus for eternity. We get that part probably, right? I mean, we understand that out there, you know, we understand that we are going to hope in Jesus for our salvation following physical death. Proverbs 23, verses 17 and 18 says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely, surely, there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." It's letting us know our ultimate hope is an eternity with the Lord. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, and Jesus is coming again. Do you believe that? Church, do you believe that? Do you believe he's coming again? I do. And with all respect to worn-out political slogans, we are sadly missing the point when we buy into hope in this world. When we look at something temporary as placing our hope in that, we've lost the point. We've completely missed the point. It's not about a person here on earth. It's not about a thing. It's not about our possessions. The Christian's ultimate hope is not in this world nor anyone in it. It's a hope of a better time and place and a Savior who is coming again to take us there. So it's something for eternity. But it's also, our hope does look to Jesus for something in this life. Not just eternity, but for this life. You know, there's another hymn that was kind of, it was hymn week, Mary. It was really hymn week. There's another hymn that's called Christ for Me. Do you know this one? It's an older hymn. I had to ask my dad about it. And I got some lyrics from him because I remembered this, you know, in my childhood. And I found several verses. The first one that I was remembering the most was one that says, "I envy not the rich their joys. Christ for me, Christ for me. I covet not earth's glittering toys." That was the line that, "I covet not earth's glittering toys. Christ for me, Christ for me. Earth can no lasting bliss bestow. Fading is stamped on all below. Mine is a joy no end can know. Christ for me, Christ for me." It's a hymn entitled Christ for Me by George Halls. It was written in 1878. And the last verse says this: "And when my life draws to its close, Christ for me, Christ for me, safe in his arms I shall repose. Christ for me, Christ for me. When sharpest pains my frame pervade, and all the powers of nature's fade, still will I sing through death's cold shade, Christ for me, Christ for me." In that hymn, you hear the echoing of what Paul was writing, and as he reflected on what Isaiah had said, for us, our hope in Christ is for eternity, but it's also for each day. What is my hope for my lifetime? Jesus Christ. What is my hope for my family? Jesus Christ. What is my hope for each of you? Jesus Christ. Our hope looks to Jesus. In him the Gentiles shall hope, as Isaiah says. And then if you look in verse 13, this will be number 2 if you're outlining. Now may the God of hope. Now may the God of hope. The God of hope. This kind of implies a couple of things, at least about our God. The first is that his nature is hopeful. God is, by nature, full of hope. He is a hopeful God. Romans 8:20 says these remarkable words. It says, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope." In other words, because of sin, this world has been subjected to a process of deterioration. And God could have destroyed all of that and start over, but he didn't do it. He chose instead to submit it in futility in the hope of his salvation plan coming to fulfillment. All of creation groaning towards completion. Same concept. He is a God of hope. When all other ways seem hopeless, God is a God of hope. By nature, that's who he is. And because he is hopeful by his nature, he is also the supplier. Not only is he hopeful, he is the supplier of hope to us. As a God of hope, he can pour his hope into our lives. All the hope that we'll ever need. He is our resource in times when hope should logically wane. If you've ever lost sight of the great hope in Christ, this morning, let me challenge you. Go to God. In your mind, in your heart, go to him. Ask him to restore you to the joy of his salvation. I promise you, he will fill you with his great hope if you call upon him. Then thirdly, as we touched on a minute ago, not only is God the God of hope by nature, not only does he supply us with hope, thirdly, he has instigated the great hope. And the reason I phrase it that way is because in the Greek, the word hope has an article with it. So it literally reads, "Now may the God of the hope." Not just hope, but the hope. He is the God who sent Jesus to bring salvation's plan to us. God drew up the blueprint of this wonderful plan of the redemption through his son. He put it on the drawing boards of heaven, if you will, before the foundation of the world. He has instigated this great hope in Jesus Christ, in his son. He is truly the God of hope. And then the next phrase in the verse continues. It says, "Fill you with all joy and peace in believing." What does that mean? Think about it this way. Have you ever talked to someone who just wasn't happy unless they were miserable? Don't name names to your neighbor. Just think to yourself. Have you ever known anybody that was not happy unless they were miserable? And when you talk with these people, that they always seem to be talking about something out there. in the great by and by, over the rainbow, or whatever, however you want to phrase it. And, you know, it's like, I'm looking forward to that day, but until such time, I'm so miserable. And I'm going to stay miserable. I choose to remain miserable. And understand, people, that should not be our attitude as believers. It should not be. Yes, we look forward to an eternal hope. I get that. And yes, it is going to be far better than what we experience here now. I get that too. But we don't have to wait for it miserably, okay? We don't have to wait for it in that fashion. Because if we do, what does that posture say about our God? Yeah. Because our hope is an absolute certainty, we have joy and peace now. We do. Eternal life for us has already begun. Did you hear that? With our faith in Christ, eternal life for us has already begun. Physical death is just a transition into His full presence. Eternal life has already begun for us. Romans 12:12 says this. He says, we live rejoicing in hope. That means now. We can still rejoice in hope. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. These are the things that we should characterize our lives. Righteousness, peace, joy, hope, not misery and discontent. Okay, so move on to the last part of Romans 15:13. We read that you may abound in hope. That you may abound. What does the word abound mean? You ever thought about that? What does abound mean? I got to looking at it, and you look up, you know, different dictionaries and things like that, and you get definitions of it. But ultimately, I went back and I said, okay, what is the Greek word that they translated abound? Well, if you go back and read that. And look into that type of thing, you find something pretty strange. This is not a simple concept. It's very abstract. Abound in the Greek is just so much in that it just spews out. That's what it's saying, kind of a superabound. In other words, we should have so much hope that it just comes out of us. I mean, that's really what they were writing. That's what the concept is. The hope that we have in Jesus should just out of us so much that it's totally contagious and nobody has any doubt about who we are and what we stand for and who we stand for. So much hope. The early church evidenced this abundance of hope. Whenever they would greet one another, they would say to one another as believers, Maranatha. Translated, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. They expected Him daily. And they lived in that hope. It wasn't pie in the sky by and by. They dealt with their life circumstances, but they expected it daily. You know, Christians, did you get up this morning and say to yourself, self, Jesus may come today? I tell you, I begin just about every morning. My dad and I laugh about it every time we get together because we have the same prayer every morning. It's, even so, come Lord Jesus, please today. Please today. Take us away. Let's get on with the rest of it. You know, and that doesn't mean we don't live in today and fully embrace the hope and the peace and the joy of today. But there is this abounding in hope, this hopefulness that the world needs to see in our lives. And how can we see it? Paul tells us as he's closing down verse 13, he says, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to generate this hope on our own. He didn't leave that for us to do. He filled us with His Spirit so that it would superabound. Hope would superabound. Joy, peace, All those candles we're going to be lighting. All of this would superabound from us. And it comes from His Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. The word for power here is dunamis, which from which we get our words dynamite and dynamic. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that walks with us. He is the one that energizes our life. He is the one that encourages us. He is the one who teaches us. From the Holy Spirit comes all of this. Spirit-filled Christians ought to be the most hopeful people in the whole world, for we claim to have the Spirit in our lives. And so I pray for us on this, the first Sunday of Advent, a Sunday of hope, I pray that we will be a people who, quote, abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not for our glory, always for His, the one who gives us hope. Let's pray and ask for His help. Gracious Father, we thank You. Father, we thank You for the hope that You provide for us. Father, we thank You for Your Son, whom we trust as a source of that hope. Father, we thank You for Your Spirit, that You give so freely to energize us with that hope. God, we pray that starting today, if not before, starting today, that we will live in the hope of eternity with You, and that we will live in the hope of each day You walking with us, guiding us, pointing others to You. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a song, another one of my favorite hymns from my teenage years. When Mary texted me and said, I'll give you a choice between the hymns, immediately I said, oh, we got to sing the Solid Rock. Another great hymn speaks to what we have as believers to lean upon, surely our hope. As we sing, I want to invite you, if you'd like to make a decision for Christ, to accept Him for the first time as your Lord and Savior, to maybe profess publicly what you've already experienced privately, I'll be here, be glad to talk with you about that. If you're here and you say, I am a believer, but maybe I fall into that category of kind of, you know, living with a little bit too much gloom in my life. I want to lean more on Christ. I want to lean on the power of the Holy Spirit to give me hope for each day as well as for eternity. I think that's something all of us could spend a little time with. So certainly you can talk with Him where you're standing and singing, or you come here to the altar. I'll be glad to speak with you if you'd like me to. Thirdly, if you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of this church, there are a lot of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now.
Oh,
remain standing for just a moment, let me introduce to you, if you've been living under a rock for the last 10 years and don't know who this is Christian Keltner, and he comes this morning making his public profession of his faith in Jesus Christ. He made the decision, and now he's coming to let you know of that decision and ask that you show up on January the 8th when he will be baptized. If you will love and encourage and continue to support him, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen. Amen.
Following the benediction and the response, I'm going to ask you to come by. Jamie, if you and Melissa could go ahead and make your way down. And is Rebecca up there too? Yeah. If you would bring your family with you and come join us. We will have all of them here to support one another. You come by and greet them, hug their necks, speak a word of encouragement. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the hope that you give us. Again, not just for eternity, but for eternity that has already begun. It has already begun. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.